Amazing Grace. Wow, I'm loving that. All right, so the scribe saw himself one way. This expert in the law saw himself one way. As far as he was concerned, he was good to go. He knew that the law said that in order to inherit eternal life, he had to love the Lord as God with all his heart and soul and strength and mind, and he had to love his neighbor as himself. He tried to justify himself. Basically, he had concluded he was already fit for eternal life. He had done what needed to be done. He was there. So he asked the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus let him know that his neighbor might not be someone who looks like him, who walks like him, who talks like him, who reads like him. The priest, on the surface, had a very close relationship with that Jew who had been beaten up. They were both Jews. But the priest left them there to die. The Levite, another religious leader in the Israelite community, left the man there. And if he was going to die, he was going to die. But he left his fellow Jew right there, stripped and beaten. The Samaritan, who was not a Jew, who was supposed to have been a sworn enemy to the Jews, went to this Jew and took care of him. And Jesus said, you have to love like that. You love like that, then you're loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Go and do likewise. He told the man, go and do likewise. If you love the Lord your God the way the law demands, and you love your neighbor as yourself, that's what you do to inherit eternal life. Now, let's see what else Jesus has to say about that. As he talks about the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25, the time of the final separation, a day that I'm truly looking forward to, a day when the Lord is going to make a final separation between those who are truly his people and those who are not his people. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31, part of the lesson we need to grab hold of here is that he's letting us know this separation is not just going to be between people who are truly his and people who made it clear that they never had any intentions of being his. This is going to be a separation. This part of the separation that he's describing is taking place between people who said they were his and truly were, and people who said they were his but truly were not. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. What I'm trying to get you to see, ladies and gentlemen, is that the stakes are very, very high. So very high that there really is no room to be playing games and pretending. We need to just be real. Listen to this. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep and the goats. He's leading them both, but sheep are sheep and goats are goats. And the shepherd knows the difference between the two. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, those who are truly sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Does any of that make you think about the Good Samaritan parable? Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Keep in mind, the Spirit of Christ is in each of his true followers. And so with his Spirit literally being inside of us, and him identifying and connecting with us so mightily and so intimately, remember, we are in Christ, and his Spirit is in us. He means it when he says, and that you did it for the least, for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. He means that. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. When did we see you in these predicaments and didn't come to you and help you, and that you didn't come to my brothers to help them when they were in that situation? You didn't do it for me. You didn't do it for these people. And remember, Jesus told the scribe, the expert in the law, even if you consider someone a part of a group that hates you, you don't hate in return. You love them. We could even say, as the Webster's Dictionary says, you have affectionate concern for the well-being of others. These people would not have had affectionate concern for the well-being of these people they dismissed. And since they did not have affectionate concern for their well-being, in all reality, they did not love those people. Remember, by definition, we have affectionate concern for the well-being of others. That's when we love them. How many of you have found yourselves criticizing people who speak out against injustice? They see that people are being oppressed, and as a result, their well-being is being pushed down. People not able to get health care that they need for themselves, for their families, and you support that and rail against the people who speak out against it. Do you suppose you're loving your neighbor the way Jesus said we have to love in order to inherit eternal life?